this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Good morning, all. It's nice to see your lovely faces. This is the first time I've actually done a full sermon, so a little bit on the shaky side. Now, I got the pleasure of doing self-control. Self-control is the flesh versus the spirit. Me in control of my life or God in control? What's it going to be? Okay, truth of the world. We know that God made us with free choice and thus freedom to choose fruit of the spirit or fruit of the flesh. Fruit of the is a product of its environment, its care, its feeding and its pruning. We live in a corrupt world and we face bait and temptation regularly. Even Jesus had to deal with constant throughout his ministry and into his death. Proximity to God is the environment we need to be in. Being with others, Christians, reading, studying, sharing God's word and allowing the Spirit to lead, teach and prune us, which is exactly what we're doing now. For those of you that know my husband, he was into fishing, so I had to use fishing. Fishing is how we can get hooked on the flesh. That's not him, by the way. He's always out early in the morning and I never get to go with him, so I just happened to find another photo that was appropriate. Now, just a reminder, we've been studying Galatians 5 and we need to think about the fruit of the flesh. They're the acts of the flesh, the obvious, the sexual immorality, the impurity, the debauchery, the idolatry, the witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissent, infractions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, the likes. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So they're very clear what they are. That's the bait, that's the hooks that Satan uses to try and hook us. So let's look at bait. A hook. How many of you have always had a hook in the hand? They're extremely sharp. I know my husband quite often had to go to an emergency to have hooks removed from various parts of his body. Because a hook has got a barb on it, so when it goes in, it's stuck in. It's also got a slight twist on it to make it hard to pull out. You actually have to push it all the way through, cut the barb off to remove it, so it's quite hard once you get hooked. But why do we put bait on a hook? Yeah, to catch the fish. But we need to attract that fish. But the other thing is to hide the bait, the hook. If you didn't know that there was a hook there, it would be quite interesting, wouldn't it? Satan, the liar, knows how to hook a bait. Here we go. I thought we'd look at a couple of passages from the Bible. In particular, we're going to look at this one because it's so well known and it's so easier to interpret. If you want to open your Bibles and read along, you can. Otherwise, I'm going to lead this up so that you can actually read it yourself. What did God say to Adam and Eve? He only gave them one commandment. Only one. And that was, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. That was all he told them that they couldn't do. And of course, here's where our lovely Satan comes in. Now, how do we know that Adam and Eve were close by the tree? Why were they close by the tree? Well, Satan didn't go, "Hey, Adam! Hey, Eve, come over here!" He just said, did God really say? You must not eat. Did he? Is that what he really said? Did he really say, you must not eat from any tree? No, he didn't. He said, you must not eat from the tree. So already we've got Satan trying to convince people through a lie. Why did Satan ask the question? Satan asked the question because he wanted to separate us from God. He wanted that beautiful connection that Adam and Eve had in the garden taken away from them. And he wanted to be it, have that authority. So he used half-truths. How did Eve answer the differ from the one that God gave? Well, she didn't quite say exactly what God said. And then she added a little bit to it. She added, and you must not touch it. Did God say that? No, he didn't. He just said, don't eat it, and you will die, or you will die. How did she justify her choices? Well, that was easy. She looked at the fruit. It looks good for food. Pleasing to the eye. Also desirable to gain knowledge. Hang on, did she want to be like God? But she already knew God. Why did she want to be like God? What has Satan done to twist in her brain to think about something different? She took some, she touched it, and she didn't die. If you remember, the serpent said that you won't die. And of course, when she touched it, what she said, and she didn't die, maybe she thought then, oh, all right, maybe God's truth is not the truth. So she gave it to Adam and ate it. Now, of course, we know Adam was right there with her. Where was Adam telling her, excuse me, God told us not to eat this fruit? He was right there with her, and he took it from her and ate it. So he's just as bad as she was. And what was the consequences? They got separated from God. They knew immediately once they'd eaten that there was something different. They were no longer in connection with God. They had to hide themselves. And that's really, really sad. But the incredible thing was, even at that moment, God planted the seed of Christ when he told the serpent, you might bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. So we knew God put that seed in place right from the start when they were separated, because God loved us and wanted us close. We'll give David a skip, but you can tell the same thing. He got himself caught up in proximity of seeing Bathsheba bathing and wanting her for himself, and then convincing himself what to do. And of course, the consequences were terrible. And even Peter, you know, the lovely Peter who was concerned about Jesus and said he's the King of God, he wanted to follow Christ and find out why he was taken. But even he got himself caught up in himself by denying Christ. Okay, let's have a look at Jesus. Now, hang on. We've been talking about negative sides of things. Now we're going to look at this other side of things. What was different? Remember, Jesus had just been baptized. He'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And God had said in a very loud voice, this is my Son who I am pleased. And the dove and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and he became filled with the Spirit. But then the Spirit led him off into the wilderness, because he needs to face exactly what Adam and Eve faced, that Satan needs to tempt him so that he can walk through the rest of life knowing that he did not submit his control to Satan. And what was the first thing Satan said to him? If you are the Son of God. That's similar to what he said to Adam and Eve. Did God really say? So He uses the same tricks. But what was different with our Jesus? Our Jesus didn't go into the ins and outs of what you can and can't do. He just said, man shall not eat, live by the bread alone. He knew the essence of what Satan was trying to tell him and convince him he was a lie. And he was right there, able to take scripture, God's word, and put it into practice. You know, even when Satan took him up to the high hills, and said, this is my kingdom, you can have it, which means he wouldn't have to go to the cross. Jesus said to him, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He didn't go into the Thames and, you don't have the control, all that sort of thing, you're the liar. He just said the truth. And each time Jesus spoke the truth and didn't worry about the fussing. And of course, what's the consequences? Our Jesus was able to go to the cross sin-free, knowing that he was in God and in the Spirit. Now, what's the difference between the two of them? Each of us is a new creation filled with the Holy Spirit. When we become sons and daughters of God, we become new creators. We are filled with that Spirit. We have that Spirit within us. We all struggle with self-control. We all want to be more like Jesus, just like Eve wanted to be more like God. How do we do it? Even Paul, in Romans 7:16, he said, I do not do what I want to do. He struggled himself to do the right thing. It is not easy. But when we fail, we need to remember. That's why Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So no matter how many times we fail in our self-control over our bodies and get engaged in those things that God has said don't touch, don't do, don't eat, we have that forgiveness because Jesus died on that cross. Remember, we know that God made us with free choice, that the freedom to choose the fruit of the flesh or the spirit. So that choice is ours. The fruit, again, is a product of the environment that we live in, the environment we are in, we place ourselves in. It's its care, it's feeding, it's pruning. We live in a corrupt world and we face temptation and bait. Regularly. Even as you were coming to church, you were probably faced with it. I know poor Haley had to try and start her car. So I'm sure she was very tempted to do some words that shouldn't have been said, but she didn't. So proximity is to God is the environment we need to be in. Just like we are in church here now, in our worship time at home, in our Bible studies, get involved, become part of it. Make sure that where you are is easier to be faithful to God when you're in his presence. Now, this last bit is Galatians 5. This is what we've been studying, so I thought I'd read it to you because this is the interesting bit. After I finished my sermon, I went back to put this in and suddenly realised, oh, hang on, this is exactly what I was saying anyway. So I could have just read you this in the first place. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. You do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk in the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires that is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit that is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other. So you are not to do whatever you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. Those who belong in Christ to Christ are justified, have crucified the flesh and its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. And a final word from our textbook, the Word of God. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And in Titus 2:12, it says, it, meaning the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. And 2 Peter 1:5-7 says, so you should try very hard to add goodness to your faith. To goodness, add knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, add kindness. And for one another, and to kindness for one another, add love. Just to end up, self-control is something I learnt about in teaching. You know, you teach the child to self-control, to self-regulate. And that's the flesh side of things, because it's very hard to do it on your own. You need to be involved with the Spirit. You need to be in that environment of Jesus to get the full control and have that fruit that you can use to help others with. So go, open your hearts, let that Spirit flee, fill you with your body, fill it and know that God is King and you can do things through the flesh, out the door, feel God in your heart. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.